Good morning, church. Well, good to be here this morning. I'd like to say it's good to see your smiling faces, but I can't see a thing out there. Thank God I never had to put up with that, because I could look the whites of your eyes and see whether or not you were catching it. Good to be here. I'm thankful that I'm feeling as good as I am. I've had a little busy time, but you know, it's 4 years since I preached here. How many have never heard me preach? All right, a few, good. Well, you're in for a shock today. Yeah, but Pastor Mike's here to help me, and that really makes me feel good. I've had some interesting experiences. I had a wedding last week, last Saturday. My grandson got married, and it was 34 degrees and snowing. It was an outside wedding. See, I'm still learning things. I'm learning. I need long johns for weddings now. Yeah. Now they did know the weather was going to be bad, so they set up a tent. Do you know what the temperature is inside a tent when it's 34 outside? 34. Yeah. They did have these heaters, but they didn't light them up until the ceremony started. And so, you know, it was a whole new experience for me. But my grandson smiled through it all. He was delighted to be married. And yes, I did preach. I always preach at weddings. I never, just in case anybody wants, I normally don't let this news out, because I don't tell people I'm going to preach. Because I learned a long time ago, if you ask somebody if you can do something, they might say no. So if you don't ask them, and you just do it, then you're okay. Amen. And so I did take time for that. Did take time for that. So I'm adjusting to the new way of life. During the spring, I had my eyes laser, and now I don't need glasses all the time. Now, it was pretty handy for 8 years. I put them on in the morning and left them on all day, and fine. Now I have to have these things here, and I keep forgetting them. And I was running late this morning because I got a phone call from a friend of 65 years whose wife had just passed away. And I did get delayed. And so my rush getting out of the car, I left my glasses. But Andy insisted that I take these, and so that I could see my scripture. And so I'm thankful for that. So here we go. So Pastor Mike, do you know how to cheer? Hello? Are you there? You know, I tried to teach my grandkids how to cheer one time. One, two, three, four. Who are we for? Grandpa, grandpa. And then they didn't catch that real fast. I said, five, six, seven, eight. Who do we appreciate? Grandpa. Well, that didn't go over too well. They didn't learn that very well. Pastor Mike, come up here and help me cheer. Don't you love this guy? I just love this guy. He's so willing to help me. Do you know how to cheer? Come here. Come over here. I won't bite you. Teach these people how to cheer. Can you do it?
No.
Hip, hip, hooray. Come on.
Hip, hip, hooray.
Come on. Are you with us?
Hip, hip, hooray.
I can't hear you.
Hip, hooray.
Again.
Hip, hip, hooray.
Do you know where that comes from?
No.
Well, see, it's a good thing I'm here to teach it. That comes from the Bible.
Okay.
I can't make this up. It comes from the Bible. Yeah, Jesus was the first one that started cheers.
Okay.
He said, be of good cheer.
Yes.
Be of good cheer. And we find that in the book of Matthew, and I'm going to read it this morning. And then when I need help out there, I'll call on you. And I won't be hit. I'm not smacking you or anything this morning.
That's
You're
good.
Safe. But when I need help, I'll give you the sign, okay?
Okay?
All right, good. Turn with me this morning to that scripture found in Matthew chapter 9. And it's a very familiar Bible story. And I don't say story because it's fiction. It's an account of what happened. Do you remember when those men brought their friend to Jesus? He just returned to his own land of Capernaum, his own city. And everybody knew he was coming, so they all gathered in a house, and the friends brought this, four guys brought this guy that was sick, and they couldn't get it near the door, so they climbed up on the roof and broke the roof open. Now, that's just inconceivable to me that a guy would be able, that anybody would think to do that and that they would get away with that. And I'm thinking, what was the homeowner thinking here in all of this? I don't know. I just wonder these things. I really do. I wonder these things. And so that scripture that we find there is in chapter 9, and it says, "And he entered into a ship and passed over and came into his own city, and behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed, and Jesus, seeing their faith," keep that in mind, "seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, be of good cheer." Oh, that was pretty weak. "Be of good cheer. Thy sins be forgiven thee." Now we're into it. Now we're going. Yes. "Thy sins be forgiven thee." You know what this is? This is the cheer of forgiveness. Amen. Now, I would love, you know, by the way, the pastor 2 weeks ago preached the best sermon I ever heard him preach here. I was just sitting back there in my normal seat saying, "Amen, amen." And I don't know if you can hear me. I was thinking he needs an amen section up here. Maybe the board members could sit in the front row, and when he says something good, so amen, amen. And I'm trying to do that from back there. But anyway, I don't have all these notes here because the pastor, he's so good at this theology and all these points. And my problem is I get hung up on four words, "be of good cheer." And once that gets in me, that's all I can think about. "Be of good cheer, your sins are forgiven thee." Boy, I tell you, this is going to be good. Yeah, you're with me. You know, about 35 years ago, I got to preach the inauguration of the new mayor in Benton Harbor. It was a black lady, and her name was Emma Hall. And they had an induction service in the Church of God in Christ, which was the biggest Church of God in Christ church in Benton Harbor. And for whatever reason, they called me and asked me to preach the induction service. I was somewhat shocked, because most of your black preachers are great orators. And so they asked me to do that. And naturally, even though it conflicted with my service, I would be a little late for service, but that, I don't turn down a chance to preach, no matter what. And so I went and preached. And they had this black organist, and with the old church Hammond organ, you know. And every time I'd say something, he'd go... You've heard those organists, how they go, they got that. Well, we got going. Yeah, and the amen corner got going. And I mean, if you'd have been here and done that 2 weeks ago, the pastor would have been twice as good as he was if you'd have just got. So, you know, I just get into four words: be of good cheer. Right. Amen. And that's where I am. Now, I've had a lot of things happen in my life. And you folks sitting out there, you think all my life has just been peaches and cream. How many think I've had the perfect life? No. Boy, didn't get any help there. Yeah. Well, I haven't. Oh, I don't mean that I've done wrong things, but everything hasn't gone great in my life. No. Everything has. That's why this verse is so exciting to me. They brought this guy for healing, and Jesus saved him. Amen. "Thy sins be forgiven thee." Amen. What greater thing is there in the world than "thy sins be forgiven thee"? Now, 32 years ago, by the way, tomorrow would have been our 58th wedding anniversary had my wife continued to live and not been taken by that horrible cancer. It's a year now since she passed away. But 32 years ago, we were celebrating our 25th wedding anniversary. And we don't make too much of those kind of things, but the church that I was pastoring over in Lower Michigan at that time decided they ought to have something special. So they had a big dinner for us. And And they let the word out that they were having this dinner, and several people knew. And we got cards and we got things. We got people that called us and contacted us and congratulated us. And we got one card. And this card said, "When you come to your daughter's wedding in 2 weeks, you can stay with us if you want to." And I looked at my wife, and she looked at me, and she said, "Our daughter's getting married." Don't laugh. It wasn't funny. We did not know it. We did not know it. We were shocked. We couldn't imagine what had happened. We'd left our daughter behind in Wisconsin Rapids, and she's getting married, and we're not notified. That kind of takes a starch out of your life, doesn't it? That kind of makes you realize us preachers don't always have perfect lives and perfect actions. Things happen to us. But God's got a plan. God has a plan. And so my Laura looked at me and said, "Well," and we found out then where the wedding was and what was going to happen and what the time was. And she said, "Are we going to go?" And I said, "No. We don't want to go where we're not invited. You know how awkward it'll be if we show up and we're not invited. You know how difficult it will be." And so we didn't go. You may say, "I would have gone." Well, that's okay for your personality and you. We didn't go. And, of course, it was the 1st of November, November 2nd to be exact. And my son-in-law and daughter will have been married 32 years on the 2nd of November. And so we always had a Thanksgiving family gathering back in those days. My wife's brother, her second oldest brother, pastored in Rockford, Illinois, and her sister and her husband pastored in Davenport, Iowa. And when we lived in Wisconsin, we all came down and had Thanksgiving. So we talked to our daughter and said, "Listen, we're going to have the family gathering. Can you come down to the family gathering in Rockford, Illinois?" And she said, "Yes, we'll come." And so we were in Lower Michigan, drove over and spent the night in a hotel, and my daughter and her husband showed up, and we were in the motel, and they knocked on the door. Now, my daughter is smart enough to protect herself, so she brought my little grandson, who at that time was a little over a year old, Tyler, and she knocked on the door, and we opened the door, and she thrust Tyler in the door and said, "Here's your grandson. I got to go to the bathroom." And now we're standing with a guy we've never met, that we don't know. We have no idea. We know that they work together in the same place and so on. We don't know. We don't know what he, we didn't know prior to that what he looked like or anything about his personality or anything at all. And it was, needless to say, awkward. And so we visited a little bit and kind of exchanged some information and found out a few things. And fortunately, there were some stores open on that Thanksgiving day. And shopping, as far as my wife and daughters are concerned, solves everything. Just go shopping. That takes care of everything. And I even got into it. I said, "Well, you know, we never got a present for you." I said, "Why don't we go down to the store," and I don't remember which one it was, Kohl's or someplace, "and we'll buy you a wedding present." Well, of course, that shocked my son-in-law because he kind of probably thought I would react differently. So we went down to the store, and to quickly go through the story, my daughter said, "We don't have a camera." I said, "Let's buy a camera." So I bought him a nice camera. Then I said, "Let's buy a case." I bought a case. I said, "Better buy film." I bought film. And, of course, we went on to our family gathering and so on. And that was the beginning of it. Well, then Christmas came. "Can you come for Christmas?" "Well, I don't know, Dad, if we can come." "Well, we'll try to come." Then we got the phone call. "Well, we can't come because Dale's son has to be with him." I said, "His son?" See, I'm telling you, we knew nothing. Yeah, his son. Now, why would my daughter think that my new son-in-law's son would not be welcome in my home? See, this is the misconception that so many people that get away from doing what they should do have. Nobody will understand. And so we said, bring his son with you. And they came. We had a wonderful Christmas. We tried to show love and care and concern that we could. To quickly move on because the service has run a little late, it wasn't very long until my son-in-law got saved. What? Be of good cheer. Now you got it. Yeah, it wasn't very long till you see, he had no choice. Because we poured love into him. Because we showed what it's like to be a child of God. Oh, we could have got mad and angry and told them they were going to hell. And all these, you don't get your family to heaven by telling them they're on their way to hell going the wrong track. You get your family to heaven because you wrap the arms of Jesus around them and say, we love you more than any circumstance in this world. And we're claiming you for God. And we expect to see you in heaven. Be of good cheer. Thy sins be forgiven thee. And I can remember when my son-in-law gave his heart to the Lord. You know what happened since then? His sister, Dottie, got saved. His other sister, Debbie, got saved. His sister, Dawn, got saved. His brother Jim, who was a career helicopter pilot in the Army, got saved. And even his crusty old dad, George. I mean, George was a crusty old bird. In the hospital before he died, he gave his heart to Jesus. Thy sins be forgiven thee. You know, like, it's all about doing everything that we can and forgetting about what our feelings are and what our hurts are and what our struggles are and what our difficulties are to see people come to Jesus. Now, old George, Dottie, his oldest daughter, took him to Hawaii on a vacation about 15, 18 years ago now. And don't you know, on their vacation, they met a lady there that was from the same city, Wisconsin Rapids. And George and this lady kind of got talking, and you know, next thing you know, I get a phone call from my son-in-law. My dad wants to know if you'll perform the wedding for him and Dorothy. That was the lady, Dorothy. I said, well, when is it? Saturday night. Well, not this right away. I said, yeah, I'll do it. I'll do it. You know why? Because I preach at weddings. Yeah. And so we went where it was in the VFW bar. Would you go in there? I would to preach. And so we went in there. And they said, we don't have any music. Can you do some music? And we can get a keyboard. And I said, Lord, what in the world are we going to play for this wedding? Well, they had met in Hawaii, so we figured it out. He's coming soon, he's coming soon, with joy we welcome his. Doesn't that sound Hawaiian to you? They didn't know the difference, but we did. We did. And old George got saved before he passed away. Be of good cheer. Thy sins be forgiven thee. You know, the most powerful thing in the world is to see somebody saved. We want God to give us money. We want God to give us a new car. We want God to meet all these other needs and give us a big job. All he really wants to see happen is your family to serve God and live for God. Be of good cheer. Thy sins be forgiven thee. The greatest thing in all the world. You see, when our sins are forgiven, that takes care of our past. Now, this year doesn't end here, Because over in chapter 9 of the book of Matthew, just a few chapters over, do you recall the story from the Bible of Peter walking on the water? Yeah, well, what preceded that was Jesus had sent them in a boat across the sea, and he went up into a mountain to pray. And then he came down, and he looked out there, and there was a storm on the sea. And he saw the storm. And so he went out on the water, and the Bible says it was about the fourth watch. Now, if you know anything about Bible timeline, the fourth watch is about 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. I don't know if you've ever been out in the 3 a.m. Think about the water, the storm, the fog rising up from the water. And you're looking across the fog, and you know you're out to sea, and you see something coming. I don't know about you, but these guys were afraid. They thought they saw a ghost. And what did Jesus say to them? Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. It doesn't matter what the storms are in life. It doesn't matter what their circumstances are. It doesn't matter how difficult things are. It doesn't matter what you're going through. When Jesus shows up on the situation, be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. That takes care of our present. Because all of the circumstances in our life, Jesus is there. He doesn't allow every good thing to come our way. He allows some bad things to come our way because he knows that's the only time we learn. Now, maybe you're not like me, but I can remember most of the mistakes I've made in life. I don't remember too much of the successes, what few I had. I haven't had very many, but what few I've had. Only success I have is right there. Yeah. But I remember thy failure. I remember when I did things I shouldn't have done. When I say shouldn't have done, I don't mean I sinned. I mean I didn't handle things very well. I didn't relate very well. I didn't do the best thing in the circumstance. And I remember those things. And I learned from them. I tried not to make the same mistake again. I tried not to put myself in the same situation again. I tried not to fail in the circumstances again. Why? Because Jesus is with us in every present situation. Every storm in our life. Everything that comes along that's opposed to us and contrary. The Bible says the winds were contrary against them. And yet Jesus says, be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. What a powerful thing to feel the presence of God. You know, I'm not a real confident preacher when it comes to preaching. I approach every time I preach with great intrepidation. Because I happen to know that if God doesn't show up to help me, it's going to be a big flop. And if God shows up, it isn't anything about me, it's about him. It's about him meeting needs and touching lives. I'm just always afraid someday when I'm getting ready to walk in the pulpit, the Lord's going to say to me, ha ha, you're on your own today. No, because I can't do it on my own. I can't do it without, you can't get through life without him. You can't get through your struggles without him. You can't get through the opposition in your life without him. You can't get through the things the world throws at you without him. And that's why in the midst of the darkest night when everybody is telling you there's ghosts around, Jesus says, be not afraid. Be of good cheer. It is I. Whoa. You know, you guys are really, you really, see, you and the Lord are really helping me out. You and the Lord. Because that's how God, those are the cheers of Jesus. He helps us with the past. He took care of our sins. He washed them away. Our sins are in the sea of God forgetfulness. And I like to hear the old song that Jake Hess used to sing. He said, no fishing, no fishing, no fishing there, because God says he's buried our sins in the sea of his forgetfulness. And don't let the devil bring them up, because he's a liar. You tell him where he's going, because he's going where you and I aren't. Yeah, yeah. And so the Lord is with us in every circumstance, in every situation, every turn of the road. And for me to be able to share with you that my son-in-law and daughter are celebrating their 32nd anniversary here in just a few weeks, how God has turned their life around, how he saved all of his family members, how even old Crusty George. You see, God can take care of your family. If you may wait till you die and not see it. But God answers prayer. Almost over 45 years ago, I came home on a Saturday night and my wife said, you got to go to the hospital. I said, why? Somebody I know in the hospital? No. But she said, two ladies called and their uncle's in the hospital. And they want you to go and pray for. I said, I'm not going. She said, you see, this is why God says your wife is a helpmate. She said, yes, you are. See why I'm lost without her? Yes, you are. No, I'm not. Yes, you are. I said, why? Because I promised them. Now, how can you make your wife a liar? What are you going to do? So I drove off to the hospital. It was the Catholic hospital on the other side of town. We had two hospitals, a community hospital and a Catholic hospital. And so, you know how your mind tricks you? And I'm going down 10 o'clock at night. I want to be home getting ready for Sunday morning. And I'm going down. I'm thinking, yeah, you're going to get stopped by a cop. He's going to say, where are you going? I said, I'm going to the hospital to see Charlie Brown. Charles Fred Brown was his name. Can't make that up, folks. Yeah. So I got there. And the hospital that I was going to was made in two Ys with a long hall down the middle and an elevator here and an elevator there. When I got off this elevator, there were two ladies on the elevator. They got off when I got off there. Because it was dark. You know how they cut the lights down in the halls? You know that, Doc, in the hospital at night. And they saw me. They waited, and I came down the hall, and they said, are you Pastor Curl? I said, yes. Well, they said, my sister and I have been praying for our uncle for years. He's never given his heart to the Lord. He's never responded to the gospel message. And he's in that room down there. And I forget how old he was, but he was in his 80s. And they said, we do have to leave, but we're just going to turn him over to you. Well, I can tell you, I was still a pretty young preacher in those days. I said, yeah, thanks a lot. See, I didn't have all the faith built up that I have now. I hadn't seen my daughter married by surprise and see what happened that God had for all that. Was that what brought all that family to Jesus? Is that what it was that my daughter would kind of turn her back on her family for just a little while? Was that what it took? I'll leave that up to you. But anyway, I went in the room and I started to talk to Charles Fred Brown. Incidentally, he was in one of these four-bed, they used to have these four-bed rooms. And so everybody knew what you were doing in there. And there was another young guy in there, and he was more interested in television. He didn't appreciate that I was talking spiritual things to Charles Fred Brown. So he turned the TV up. So I turned my TV up. To make a quick, long story short, I talked with Fred for several minutes. I took his hand, and I said, I don't know if you can pray out loud or not, but I said, I want you to pray in your heart if you can. And I prayed the sinner's prayer with him. I paused at each juncture to give him time to silently in his heart to say it. And when I was all done praying for him, he gripped my hand as strong as any man ever has. And he said to me, for the first time in my life, I feel like I'm going to heaven. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I went back to see Charles Fred Brown the next day, and at 5 a.m. that morning, he had passed from this life and gone into eternity. And I felt, God, you were with me in that situation. You were with my wife. You brought about, even though I wasn't that willing. You see, these two ladies never knew Uncle Charles got saved till they all got to heaven. You may never know about all your family, but when you start praying for them every day, and when you start living for God, and when you allow God to work in your life and the circumstances that are surrounding you, and they see how God is working in your life, there's a witness and there's a testimony and there's a ministry that goes forth, and there's wonderful, spiritual, miraculous things that happen in the hearts of people that at some point along the line, they must respond to Jesus. Hip, hip, hooray is right. Yeah. Be of good cheer. Well, it doesn't end there. I knew you didn't want to go home that soon. Over in John chapter 16, verse 33, Jesus says these words, "Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Oh, you know what that says? That says Jesus takes care of everything in our future. He takes care of all of the work of the enemy being bombarded against us. You know, some folks are so worried about the future. Why? Jesus said, "I've overcome the world. I've got all your problems solved. And even if you go through tests and trials, be of good cheer. It is I. I'll be with you." You see, the spectrum of this little cheer here carries us through every aspect of our life. Our past sins are washed away. Our present circumstances, Jesus is with us no matter what is going on. And whatever comes in the future, he says, "I have taken care of it. I have overcome the world." Now, there's so many people today that want to be so negative about the future. Our country's going down. Yes, we are. I'm not happy about the changes, the immorality that's taking place in our country, about the acceptance in the culture of so many things that contrary to the church. But you know what? I'm going on the first load, so I'm not going to worry about it. Yeah. Yeah. I may be gone before the first load goes. Yeah, who knows? But the Lord's got it taken care of. He's cheered us on. Hip, hip, hooray. Yeah. Be of good cheer. Be not afraid. It is I. Be of good cheer. Thy sins be forgiven thee. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And there isn't anything from our past. There isn't anything in our present. There isn't anything yet to come that Jesus hasn't taken into consideration and watches over us and keeps us and draws us to him to accomplish his plan and his purpose. Now, why don't you just write my sermon down? Be of good cheer. That's all. And then write hip, hip, hooray. And every time you hear hip, hip, hooray, you'll remember. No, not that you remember me, not that you remember this sermon. You'll remember Jesus. You remember that he's got it all solved, that he's got it all taken care of. Past, present, and future are in his hand. He's solved it all, and he's going to see us through to the very end. Amen. Like 62 years of preaching, I got lots of stories to tell you. I don't want to keep you here all day. I just want to tell you that Jesus never fails. Kelly, thanks for that song you played earlier, written by George Beverly Shea, I think. "I'd rather have Jesus than anything. I'd rather have him than riches or fame. I'd rather have him than anything this world has to offer." Why? Because he's the answer to every situation and every circumstance in our lives. Can you bow your heads, please, for just a moment? I apologize that I've been a little long. just you know, just comes. That's the way it is. I just get going, and I can't stop because Jesus is so wonderful. Is there anybody here this morning that's never one time made a confession to Jesus Christ and asked him into their heart and life? Is there anybody here at all? You've never done that. Anyone at all? It's hard. Anybody? Could this be your day? Could this be the time when you would yield your life to the Lord and invite him into your heart and into your life? Could this be the time? Musicians, would you come, please? Could this be the time? Anybody at all? All right. Maybe someone here, they're just a little shy yet to be identified or put their hand up. Just a moment. I'm going to invite folks to come to this altar. Our brethren are going to be here to pray with you. Maybe you just were a little reticent to raise your hand and be recognized. Maybe you just silently slip up with those that come to be prayed for and make that commitment of your life to Jesus Christ. Because he says to us, be of good cheer. I've taken care of everything. I've taken care of each and every situation. I have everything solved. I have all the answers for everything. I've taken care of things just for you. Father, thank you this morning for your wonderful word. Thank you for this simple little phrase that covers our past, our present, and our future. Thank you for the way you intervene in our lives. Thank you for the way that you watch over us and keep us. Thank you for future events, Lord, that you've already seen are coming and are preparing great things. Most of all, thank you, Lord, for our loved ones that are not yet serving you. And in the name of Jesus, we claim your work in their lives. That one day they'll hear the voice of the Savior in their heart and life and mind that says, be of good cheer, my son. Thy sins be forgiven. Now, Lord, as we come around this altar and share our needs and pray one with the other, minister to each one and accomplish your plan and purpose in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.